The ball is tipped, and there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star. One shining moment is all on the line. One shining moment.
What's up, college basketball fans, and welcome to a new episode of CBB 365. I'm Adam Hipsky alongside, as always, Patrick Dalhan. And today, we have deadline day for college basketball players to decide whether or not they're going to keep their name in the NBA draft or return to school for next season. And we've got some big names, and we will go over how that will affect the college basketball landscape for next season, as well as outlining some possibilities for how the NCAA can start on time in 2020 and how we can make sure we have college basketball in the winter. And then we will finish off our show with a rematch of a little Pat and I and trivia. And it's a great show, so make sure to like and subscribe. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at CBB365Pod, and enjoy the show.
So, as of today, what is it, August 1st? August 1, thank you. There's been a ton of college basketball-related news. Lots of recruiting, lots of players choosing to stay in college. And speaking of college,
that's good.
Yeah.
This is a college basketball podcast.
Well, yeah, thank you. I'm light on my feet. Speaking of college decisions, Illinois returning two of their heavyweight players, Io DeSunmu and Kofi Cockburn. They are now threats to win the national championship and, quite honestly, the Big Ten favorites. Right, Adam?
Without a doubt. No, Illinois looks really, really, really good next year. And adding, they have two top 50 recruits coming in, and Adam Miller, who's a high four-star, even a five-star on some sites. Bringing him in is going to be huge. Big Ten's going to be loaded next year. I mean, we're going to talk about this later, but Luka Garza, we're going to find out tomorrow whether or not he's going to stay in the NBA draft or return to Iowa. And if he returns to Iowa, man, Illinois and Iowa are right there neck and neck at the top of the Big Ten, I feel like.
Yeah.
But without a doubt, I'd say as of right now, and I would still probably say even if Luka Garza returns to Iowa, I don't think he'll have the season, as good of a season as he had this year. So in that case, I would say that Illinois is without a doubt the favorites for next year. They obviously brought back Io DeSunmu the other day, and then Kofi announced just today that he's coming back. And you know, those are their two leading scorers. And obviously, Kofi was a big part. And you know, they returned some role players as well. I mean, they've got Andres Feliz, who's going to graduate. Alan Griffin's going to transfer out, and he'll be heading to Syracuse. But, I mean, they'll return Trent Frazier. They'll return a couple other starters. But, you know, like we said, Io DeSunmu and Kofi Cockburn returning to Illinois is huge news for the Big Ten and even the national landscape. They're definitely Final Four contenders. I mean, you look at across the entire country – and any conference, any team, I think Illinois right now, the way they match up, they can go head-to-head with anyone. And that's very impressive, especially you're going to have experience. You're going to have Frazier coming back. You're going to have AO, who's going to be.
And they brought in a kid from Wesleyan in Connecticut, a D3 school, who can play.
Dude, I mean, they're just going to be really good next year.
AO's going to come back. The Illinois coach said the D3 kid is the best player on the team. Like, not best player, best athlete on the team.
Here's the thing. Here's what we've talked about so many times before. In college basketball, what's so big is experience. And experience plays a large part, especially down the stretch into March. And Io DeSunmu has got 2 years under his belt, and he's going to have a whole third year of experience right now coming up this upcoming season. Kofi obviously only has 1 year, but still, I mean, he's not a one and done. I mean, he's coming back. Obviously, he's never played in March Madness, but he's gone through the grind of a regular season, so that obviously can't hurt. And then I think Io DeSunmu is going to be a great, great, great mentor for Adam Miller, who's coming in. He's going to be who was obviously ranked very highly on recruiting sites. And I think he can be an impact player immediately for them, maybe off the bench just because of how loaded their backcourt is right now. But no, Illinois just off paper, they've got good role players. They've got good star power. They've got a guy that you can go to in the clutch in Ayo Dosunmu. They've got a good post presence with Kofi Cockburn. I mean, they're a really impressive team. And right now I don't see a team that I can look at and say, oh, without a doubt, Illinois isn't as good as this team. You know, I mean, even if I can find a team that's better than Illinois, it's not by much. It's not by much for sure. And, to say that and return that many guys, I think Illinois can have a really special season next year.
All right. The NCAA is planning on starting on November 10th, according to the vice president of the NCAA, Dan Gavitt. With this whole big coronavirus-19 situation, I don't really see that as a possibility. Man, there's so many Division I teams that it'll basically be impossible with all the traveling. Even if they do in-conference, there's going to be conferences that are almost entirely red states, like the SEC and the Big 12. Like, it's just not going to work. It's really not going to work. But I do think that right now, as far as this goes, the ball's in the MLB's court. Yeah, like, we don't talk about literally any other sports on this podcast besides basketball. But the MLB now decides whether college basketball is going to work with their whole situation. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's not looking good.
Well, yeah, you talk about the MLB, and obviously there's other professional sports going on right now with NBA and NHL. We can't compare those to college basketball because they're in a bubble.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. That's a completely different environment. MLB is what we've got to model after to an extent. Obviously, it's still different. You know, we've still got classes and still have campus. Mm-hmm. But you've still got to look at, they're not going to have a bubble. They're going to have to travel and they're going to have to be people or professors or whatever. Which is going to be much different than what the NHL situation is and what the NBA situation is, like the WNBA situation. So the MLB is obviously not in the best shape right now, I guess you could say, but hopefully college football can somehow get a trial run going and see what works, and hopefully we can contain the spread and get college basketball on November 10th. You know, who knows? The thing is, colleges, the way the calendars have been set up for this year, is a lot of schools are leaving.
Leaving after Thanksgiving, yeah.
Leaving after Thanksgiving and not coming back and taking multiple months off. So, I mean, could that help college basketball to the fact where, if no kids are on campus except the athletes, that could benefit them.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that the athletes want to be treated like students. And they do. It's very important to them. Like, many athletes have expressed on social media that they won't play if they're not on campus with the students, because they're out there literally putting their lives at risk with corona. Obviously, they're in great shape, but they could still get very sick. Like, dangerously sick from it, and they're already arriving on campus. Like, basketball workouts started, when was it? Like, July 20th.
Well, I think they're just saying they don't want. They're saying if it's not safe enough to have every student on campus, then it's not safe enough to have any students on campus, which is a fair point.
Yeah.
I think what's going on with baseball is not a good sign for football, because
yes,
I was talking about this with Ryan Martin on NFL 365 the other day. If it's impossible to do a bubble for football because there's just too many people, and the cycling in and out of players is so fast because of how many injuries there are. Do you think it's possible if college basketball goes to conference only? Like, I think all the Power Five football conferences have now done. They're going to conference only schedule. If they do a conference only schedule in college basketball, can you do bubbles? Can you do an ACC bubble? Can you do an SEC bubble?
I think that potentially you could, but again,
it all depends on class.
Because then they would lose the student athlete part of it. They would lose the student.
If they're able to go virtually somehow, or if it's during a time where like Adam said, they're taking big breaks. You know, a lot of them have changed their schedules.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, it's a super delicate situation. Because the athletes, like, the four-year athletes, obviously the guys that are, like, five stars that are going for 1 year don't give a damn about school. But it's the four-year guys who make up the majority of the NCAA, like the guys that are in it for the long haul, do care about school. Like maybe Jermaine Samuels Jr. said in an interview for Villanova that he wants to be able to be a normal student. Like, he wants to be able to go to classes. He wants to be able to learn because he's been there for 4 years.
Even a guy like Luca Garza, who we're going to find out his decision tomorrow, he's been at Iowa for 3 years.
Exactly.
If he goes back next year, he's going to get his college degree. Now, you know, with so much uncertainty this year, what's going to happen with his decision? I don't know. Obviously, we just talked about it, two Illinois players. And it really seems like over the past couple of days, players have fared more going and returning to college for another year, which honestly kind of surprised me. We've talked about it before, whether or not the uncertainty around everything was going to hurt or help.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe push players out and into the NBA or maybe pull them back in. And right now, the way I've kind of seen it is it's been more pushing people out or opposite, pulling people back to college for another year. So, you talk about guys that have been at college, and especially that those that have been there for 3 years and are going for the fourth year and to get that college degree, if, you know, you haven't graduated early or whatnot. But, you know, for a guy like Luca Garza, who is wanting to get his college degree this year, you know, that's everything to him. So
moving on. Speaking of bubbles, the NBA Draft Combine is set to begin August 25th. Invites have already been sent. Guys have been pretty public about that, posting on social media. But it'll be interesting to see how they run that. Obviously, they'll have to be in a bubble. I think so, right, guys?
Yeah, it's going to be, I'm guessing, some sort of quarantine leading up to the
event. They have to.
Yeah, that's why they've given themselves at least 3 weeks' time to prepare for it. I'm guessing it'll be around a 10-day quarantine and obviously testing, and then do the entire combine probably in as little time as possible. If they can try and get it to 1 day, I'm guessing they will.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like the NFL combine where you're testing bench, you're doing these little drills where it's like run 10 yards, slant, little stuff. I mean, obviously there's technical things that coaches want to see. It's not as big of a deal. They can limit the contact. I mean, I think the things that they want to see, in my opinion, are probably them going up against each other.
That's what I was going to say. Without a doubt, I would say the scrimmages are the most important part. I think the physical testing, I mean, yeah, they're gonna get their height and their wingspan and stuff.
Yeah. But,
I mean, how important do they really say, like, the cone, like the three cone drill is, and the shuffles and the sit or whatever it is, 80 foot. I don't even know what the distance of their sprint that they do is, but you know, I mean, is any of that really like important? I think that the most important thing is going to be a scrimmage. And I think, you know, it's easy to do what the TBT did. I mean, just lock them down in a hotel and test it for 2 days. And especially, you know, if they limit invites or whatnot, I think this combine should be a smooth process, and hopefully we get some sort of coverage on it, and, you know, hopefully we can watch it and ESPN can get in there and have cameras and run a television broadcast in there. So if not, you know, there's many times where the combine, you know, if the NBA is not covering it or ESPN is not covering it, you know, we don't really know what goes on and we don't know what happens in the scrimmages. So if they are kind of letting it down and not even allowing media in there, then that would be unfortunate.
That would be a no. Trivia time. For the second straight episode, we are doing trivia. I was cheated out of a win last time. Not fair. Adam, your thoughts?
I don't know if cheated out is the word per se, but I would say we honestly tied 1-1. Obviously, you know, I smoked you in Where Did He Go? But
Where'd He Go?
You definitely you got me in trivia. So, you know, I look forward to the next, I guess you could say the rematch today.
All right. First question, who is the only coach to win an NCAA and NBA championship?
Hold on. We never even established who's going. I mean, I know this, but
Adam is the defending champion. He will go first.
I believe it's Larry Brown.
That is correct. Larry Brown won the NCAA championship with Kansas in 1988. That was the Danny Manning team. And then he won again in 2004 with the Pistons. The second question is, which school is the only university to make at least four championship appearances and never having lost?
Four national championship appearances and never having lost. That's UConn, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
University of Connecticut. That ties it up.
I was gonna say Duke, but they got absolutely clowned by UNLV.
All right. The coach of which program is credited with starting the tradition of cutting down nets after a victory? The coach of which
school? No, do we have to say the coach or the?
No, I'm looking for the name of the team that he coached.
Team.
I don't know. I'm just gonna say UCLA.
Patrick?
NC State.
That is correct. North Carolina State coach Everett Case.
Oh, I was thinking Jim Valvano.
Is credited with the tradition of cutting down the nets after his Wolfpack won the Southern Conference in 1947.
No, I was thinking Jim Valvano, but
okay, that goes up 2-1.
That was a half court shot.
No,
just throw because I was thinking like Jimmy V. Like that win was so nuts.
All right. Which school has the current longest streak for most consecutive March Madnesses made?
Which school?
Yeah, most consecutive tournament bids.
Yes. It's
a 30-year streak.
Jesus. Throw it out and say Kansas.
That is correct. It is Kansas.
No, dude, you're joking. Two half-court shots in a row.
What is the lowest seed ever to make the Final Four? Looking for a number.
It would be a 11 seed.
That is correct. It's happened three times. 1986 LSU, 2006 George Mason, and then VCU with Shaka Smart the first year of the...
Oh, Shaka Smart.
The first
always games. On the hot seat.
The first four games. 3-2 after five. All right. Which players for Pat scored the most points in a March Madness game?
Which players?
Yeah, player.
Scored
the most points in a single March Madness game.
Will Chamberlain.
Nope. Adam, it's Austin Carr.
Oh, I wouldn't have guessed that.
He scored a tournament record 61 points against Ohio.
Wait, Maxion?
I guess, yeah, Notre Dame versus Ohio. Which team has the longest drought between March Madness appearances?
Harvard.
That's correct. 66 years Harvard went.
Harvard?
Yep. Adam ties it at three after seven questions. There are three questions remaining. Which two coaches have the most Final Four appearances?
Coach K and Calipari.
Incorrect.
All right, can I steal? It is Coach K. And I'm going to go John Wooden.
That is correct. Who has played in the most NCAA tournament games? Looking for a specific player.
Dude, I'm just going to go with the man who's been in, like, obviously has been in the longest March Madness consecutive run, and it seemed like he was there for, like, 7 years. So I'm going to go Perry Ellis.
Incorrect.
Lou Alcindor.
That's also incorrect. The correct answer was Christian Wolfe.
No, that's who I was going to.
It is
4-3.
4-3.
And we're heading question 10.
All right, Patrick gets it. So if he gets it wrong, I win, right?
Correct. What is the last team to win back-to-back national championships?
Florida.
No, it is.
I will go to a tiebreaker question. If it's still tied after this tiebreaker question, we will go to where he go.
Oh, gosh.
Player from which school has the record for most points in a Final Four game? Looking for a school.
I know this.
What is it?
It's a dude from Princeton. His last name is Bradley.
That's correct. It's Bill Bradley.
Okay, well, I didn't even get a chance to answer it.
You,
It's a,
I'm going to guess Princeton. Okay,
give me a rebuttal.
Okay. You get a rebuttal to answer. I'm going to find a hard one since that was a hard one. Adam just knew it flat out.
I would have guessed Kansas. Kansas is a pretty solid guess when it comes to
that's true.
Like there's like a 70%.
Give me the school that was the last team to complete a perfect season. Perfect through the regular season, perfect through March Madness.
The school?
School.
UNLV.
Incorrect. Adam?
IU, baby.
Indiana.
Where he
another goes. Week. And another week, Patrick has to deal with his L.